And I'll be for some this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of James. Book of James, chapter 4. This morning, and the Veterans Day, which we celebrate, to the day we celebrate when we got saved, the day we celebrate when we're going home to heaven, and the day we're coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Veterans Day. Remember your history lessons. I hope they still teach it in schools to our children. It wasn't originally Veterans Day. It was Armistice Day. Armistice Day. What does that mean? Well, in the year 1918, that's 101 years ago tomorrow, on the 11th day of February, at the 11th hour, 11th month, of course, they came to an agreement. And the word armistice is a coined word, and it means a ceasing, a stopping of action of something that was happening. And then armor, part of that word, means weapons. So Germany and the Allied nation came to agreement on that day that they would stop action of fighting with weapons. And so it in history. But it didn't stay Armistice Day all the way through. In 1954, our Congress and our President, Dwight D. Eisenhower, signed into that would be changed Armistice Day to Veterans Day, which represents not only World War I, World War II, all the veterans of all the wars, which we saw this morning. What a beautiful sight it was. And hopefully that went on all through America, where the people that have been willing to fight and willing to have died for a country, and of course millions, hundreds of thousands, are not able to be here, as Brother Smith said, because they gave their life, they died, which relates to the fact that Christ Jesus paid the price for us. So in 1954, they changed it to Veterans Day and then declared a national holiday, which is tomorrow. And we appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to think about those veterans, those people that did die in action. So let's look at the fourth chapter, the book of James this morning, and see what the Lord has for us today. For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your lust that war in your members, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, we come in contact, chapter 15, with what we call the prodigal son. Every one of us, when we got here, we were born of our parents, we were born of our mother. We were born in iniquity, we were in our sins. And thank God there was a day in our life, might call it a Armistice Day, the day we stood still and told Christ. It means an agreement, Armistice means an agreement between two or more people, that you will no longer go the way you were going. They were killing, and thank God for the freedom that we have because of the action of the Allied troops that stopped that horrific war that they were trying to conquer the world. And that's what sin does. That's what Satan does, trying to conquer the world. And Satan already has a power, a lock upon us when we got here. We were born in sin, shaping iniquity. And we already had that stranglehold on us, if you will. But thank God there was a day that Christ Jesus came into this world and he paid the price, the sacrifice. And he did his part of that agreement, that armistice, that period. But it has to take two, you see. He paid the price. And you and I, if we're saved by the grace of God, we have that day when we would call to action to make an agreement with Christ Jesus, that we would stop being against him and we would be no longer alienated against him, but we would be in union with him because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the weapons of warfare. And we just read in James, the reason that happens because men lust, they have sin inside. But thank God. Let's look at the story of the prodigal son. It relates to similarly everyone else that we all have a will. Sometimes that will is pitted, is against the things of God, as it was a prodigal son. And it's easy to read the story of the prodigal son and see the error of his ways. But if you'd be honest, it's not too different, perhaps, from the error of every one of our ways when we were born in sin. And their parents, if you had godly parents, they reared us in the house of God. They taught us right from wrong. But there was something, as James said, there was a war going on in the flesh because we were already under captivity by Satan when we got here. But Christ Jesus died to set us free. So we had to come to that agreement. Sometimes there's a struggle, as there was with the prodigal son. Let's read the account together in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. The will of the flesh, we read it in James. The will to go your way. And once he received his portion of the living, he seemed to be satisfied, or at least in action for a few days. Probably never was in his will, in his mind. But then there was that day when he wanted to get as far in the far country, as far as he could from the things he'd been taught. That happens to a lot of people. They've been taught, and no doubt people sit in church as children because of their will, and they're made to come. They know the rules at my house was never really spoken. We just knew what they were. If you were breathing and you were able to walk, then you're a candidate for the house of God that day. And walk we did. We had to walk a long way, and that was fine. But then, was I always content there? Well, I'll have to admit, as a young boy before I got saved, I remember particularly later on in life, I'd been fishing the day before, perhaps. My dad did not like to fish, but he always told my brother and myself, now, work hard on the farm. We're going to have to anyway. But if you'll work hard and get the hay up and do the chores and do all the hoeing and all the gathering, then we'll go fishing on Saturday. Made a reward day, if you will. So my brother and I, my brother's 2.5 years older than me, a lot better person than I was, obviously. And he'd always say, make that Roy go ahead and do his part, you know, because we want to go fishing Saturday. And then on Saturday, we would go fishing. But I remember sitting in church, I'll just be honest, won't you be honest with the Lord too. As a young boy, I got saved when I was 12 years old. Some days I'd be sitting there not paying a lot of attention to what the preacher said. You know what I was thinking about? That fishing hole that I'd fished at the day before. And I knew there was fish in there, and I didn't catch the ones I wanted to catch. Couldn't hardly wait till next Saturday. You ever been like that? So my will wasn't exactly adjusted right, and neither was a prodigal son. He had his portion, but he wasn't content anymore. His will said, I want to leave and get as far away as I can. I never went that far, thank God I got saved. But a lot of people don't. They do just like the prodigal son did. They want what they want, as they want, when they want, and to do whatever they want, and here they go. Within their self, there is a war going on. But thank God there can be an armistice day. A day when word means that there's a standstill, an agreement with two people that I'm going my way, it's the wrong way. Let's read the prodigal son's story. And this far country didn't do him very much good, nor will it do anyone that chooses to leave the things of God. He says in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, everything he had, his possessions, all that he had inherited, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. James told us about that in chapter 4, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. The earthly possessions that he was given did not last very long. Soon it was running out. Now what's he going to do? He's in want. He's desperate. He spent everything he had in riotous living. There's no payback. There's no investment to people's life when they waste their substance and they waste their life in sin. Oh, but thank God there's an armistice day. There's a day that's set aside, that God has already set aside for you and I, that's in our sins, that we can come and take part in that agreement and lay down the weapons of the flesh and let the Lord Jesus Christ give us peace with him. The Bible says that peace he gives us passes all understanding. I've tried before, and I'm sure you have to explain to sinners and explain to others and even to explain to yourself how wonderful it is that I was enemy against God. I was enemy against the things God wanted from me, but thank God for the day he set me free and gave me of his peace. I like to linger on that. I like to think about that. But this prodigal son had no part of it. But the Lord, remember, he's already done his part of the agreement. All that has to happen is the individual has to do their part. Remember, it's agreement, this armistice is between two parties. One party's already been dealt with because Christ Jesus had shed his blood. God had sent his son. He had died to forgive sin, that we may inherit life and the beauty of life. So the Bible says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That was the worst thing that could have happened to him because he'd been reared that, you know, a swine to a Jew is not one that can be eaten. And God allows things that to happen. Sometimes when people flee and they try to get away from the things they've been taught, the things that they know in their head, they have never accepted it in their heart. And God remembers still directing his life. He may not know it. He won't admit it. He doesn't realize it. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, his steps aren't good yet. Mine wasn't either. But God directs our steps to get us to the fact that we can sign that agreement with him in our mind, in our heart, that we will flee from sin, we will lay down the weapons of warfare against him, the spiritual weapons, and we'll be united with him. Now the flesh still fights about that. So God can get a sinner to that place. My job and your job. And oh, there's something else I need to be at our mission today. Agreement, first of all, on that day, on 1918, 11 o'clock was between German and Allied forces. But as the days went on, there was other nations that was fighting with Germany. And see, when you and I make that agreement and we get right with God, you may have brothers, you may have sisters, you may have parents, you may have children that's never come to the knowledge of saving grace of God. But you see, there's also a day for them. There was a day pretty soon when other people were signing that accord. So the Bible says God can get him where he needs him to be. So he starts thinking in his mind that this life I'm living is not so good after all. For me, it was so easy because at a young age, the Lord didn't have to deal with me all that much because in my heart, I realized I did not want to go to hell. I remember my job and my brother's job was alternate. We would go get the cows to bring them to the barn to milk. And those cows were always in the back 40 or somewhere. And sometimes you'd go to back 40 and the south 40 and the west 40 and they wouldn't be there. They had bells on, but you know what those cows do? They must have known they didn't want to get up from their laziness to come to the barn and be milked. So they wouldn't even ring those bells. Now, if they just shook their head a little bit, and I don't know why, they didn't say, Lord, send them some flies or something to cause them to shake their head. Because I'd go to that part of the pasture, and they wasn't there. I'd go to that part of the pasture. But let me tell you this. As I was going, 11-year-old boy, the Lord was bringing me under conviction. I didn't understand it. But I remember. Now, back in those days, we were... If you've ever been in Madison County, particularly where I live, it wasn't flat, it was rolling. And you go up and we had cow trails, you know, about every 3 foot, the cow would blaze a trail. I go up about 3 cow trails and I get on my knees and try to talk to the Lord because I wasn't saved yet and I didn't really know what I was doing. But he was working on me. And sometimes I really think that maybe he had those cows hid in the third place where I would pray more and seek his face more. I'm telling you, God knows where you are. And God knew where this prodigal son was. And this prodigal son, he had joined himself to a citizen of that country. But that didn't go so good either because his job was to feed the swine. Verse 16 said, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk. The swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now the husk is that part of the corn of the chaff. Remember, they would go up and we were taking the wheat and getting the good part. They would wind it and the light stuff just blows away. He just wanted the husk, not the real grain, but just anything to satisfy. But may I say, there is no satisfaction in anything else that sin has a part of. The only hope he's got is for him to change his will and let him recognize that the life he has chose for himself is a life of want. It's a life of misery. It will get no better. In fact, it will get worse and worse. But thank God there's an opportunity. There's already part of the deal been made at Calvary, the shed blood. All you have to come to the cross and realize that my sins have already been paid for, and then everything can be restored. And the weapons of warfare will be laid down. And, oh, the flesh is still lost. But thank God he put something inside that can overcome the world. He said, I've overcome the world, and you can overcome the world through me. In the flesh I can't, nor in the flesh can you. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are overcomers. So the prodigal son is well on his way because he has come into want. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I had one brother. He and I were going to inherit it all, get it all, and my father has all these hard servants. And naturally, the hard servant won't get all the benefits that the two sons did. But he said, even those hard servants, they're not in hunger. They have plenty to eat. They have raiment to wear. They're not in want. And he started thinking. That's the first thing happens in the conviction. The Lord deals with us in some way, only he can do that, and let us know that the life you're living is not very good. It's getting worse. And then if you look farther down the road, which we don't have a capability of doing, but we do know the Lord Jesus Christ told us about the future. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We realize, even sinners know, that we're in those last days. And in those last days, the Son of Man's going to come, and he's going to come and catch his bride away. And then the sinner will be left behind, and all the forces of hell will be loosed upon this world in the tribulation period. And children that grow up that haven't accepted the Lord as their Savior, the Lord puts that thought in their mind. They may be on the path of destruction. They may be leaving God, and in their mind they want to drift as far away from those things as possible. But the Lord brings a situation in their hearts that he will cause them to think. And that's what this prodigal is doing. He's starting to reason. He's starting to let those things that he's been taught come back to his mind. The Lord had to get him in want. He had to get him in misery. He had to get him in hunger. He had to get him in this state before he could start thinking good. You have to be willing to realize when you're a sinner that the life I'm living is against the very things I want to stand for. I want to rear my children right. I want to have them go to heaven. What parent, what grandparent would not want his children that he loves and his grandchildren that he loves so much to go to heaven? But that parent himself can't do anything about that, but he can teach them the ways of God. He can teach the children. And sometimes it's not the words that does the most good, it's actions. How we treat them at home. I know children, and you do too. I don't know all the situations they've gone through. But if you talk to them, they realize the home life they had. Parents may have went to church. But in between these church sessions, it wasn't all that good. It was arguments and fussing and overreacting and just not being kind to the students, just kind to the children. And that's what causes a lot of children to want to leave home. But thank God this prodigal son could not think of anything bad about his parents. He had to come to realize it's not anyone else. It's me. It's my sins that separated me. So he starts reasoning. Things wasn't so bad at home after all. My servants were treated good. Obviously, my brother was treated good. I was treated good. It was my own earthly desire, my own sins that separated me from the things of God. And here I am. Then he started realizing, I don't have to stay here. I don't have to remain in the condition I'm in because my father is still at home. People can say some of the dumbest things, can they not? I've had people say to me, and I've overheard people say, where was God when that happened? Why did God allow that to happen? Well, it's a simple answer. God's on his throne. Anytime you seek him, he'll be there. This day and time, if you're trying to get individuals, many of us aren't at home. And then if we have phones, you can't get us there either most of the time. So you leave a message. Aren't you thankful it's not like that with God? Anytime you call on his name, he is willing. It may be 2 in the morning. It may be midnight. It doesn't matter. The Lord is at home. And he is in authority. You don't have to worry, well, what time can I call? What time? And the prodigal son never one time said, well, I'll have to figure it out when I go home to make sure my father's there. His father was going to be there. The only problem was the son was far away from home. We don't realize how many miles or how long it was on that journey. But we do know one thing. He never had to question whether his father was at home or not. And you and I, as we're growing up, or whatever age you are, the age of accountability, when you get ready to do business with God, he is available. This day and time, we're taught, you know, you have to have doctor's appointments, you have to have all these things, and then the crowded condition of the road, you don't know if you can get there, you go on this road and it's blocked. Oh, there's no blockages between here and heaven. He will be home. And all you have to do is get in a position to realize where you are. And that's what the prodigal son had to do. He realized he's in want, he's in the depravity, he's in the depths of his sin, and if I can just get home to the Father, all my needs will be met. But it took a changing of his attitude and a changing of his mind. The distance wasn't the problem, although it was probably a great long distance. The problem that he had was his own will. He had to conquer that, but of course he couldn't conquer that. But then he had to ask the Lord to help him conquer that. No wonder Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Verse 18 says, he finally came to the agreement, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. This will that he had not only to go back home, that was just part of it, but he had to come to the sense of knowledge that I am a sinner. I have sinned against heaven and against you. And I ask forgiveness. He didn't say, I'll go back home and say, give me what I deserve, because he realized he already wasted that. We don't deserve anything, but Christ Jesus says he's worthy. And the Father was willing to forgive. There was not one question in his mind but what his Father would forgive him. The only question he had in his mind is, will I arise or will I stay? Will I die? Will I perish in my sin? Or will I go home and ask my Father, who I know will be there, who I know will forgive me, who I know can provide for me? All I have to do is come to knowledge and admit I'm a sinner. Not worthy, and I don't want to be treated in royalty, just to be in my Father's house, just to be as a servant. Don't even have to be accepted as a son anymore. And their expectations will all be met in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That could be our or Mrs. Day. Two words. One is come to knowledge and stand still, and that's what he's done. He's come to the knowledge of a standstill that I want peace in my heart. I don't want to wage war anymore. And the second part of that word, remember, was weapons. And the weapons of our war, the flesh is our weapon. You might look around if you're a sinner and say, well, that person's against me. That's not your hindering cause. That person's against me. My parents haven't treated me right, or my brothers, all these things got nothing to do with it. The only weapon you have to lay down is your own will. That's the thing that's keeping people from Christ. And now he has come to the conclusion. He has reached the end of the trail. And now he is ready to admit, I have sinned. I am a sinner. But he knew what to do. I'll go home. No question about forgiveness. That will be there. And when people realize they're sinners, that's all they need to do, their own will. And when they come to that knowledge, he's available. He will teach us how to get to himself. In fact, he'll come to us. And that's what happened to this man. Let's read Father and see and convince ourselves what we already know. That the Father will be home. And then it says in 20, and he arose. Came his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. There's no question whatsoever about what the Father's going to do. So when people are in sin, they've been taught right, the Holy Ghost is convicting them, showing them they're lost, and all they have to do is make one decision. I'm a sinner. I'll go home. The rest, we know the Father saw him, and the Father, the Heavenly Father, Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, sees you where you are, knows how you've been drifting. And the only conclusion you have to come and realize is that I'm a sinner. A lot of people look back and say, well, I made a profession when I was a young child. That's good if the Lord was leading you and you knew that you were a sinner. And you realized Holy Ghost conviction brought you to him, and you were willing and you were old enough to change your mind about sin. A lot of young people aren't that old, and I don't worry about all that, because if people made that decision like I did when I was 9 years old, but I wasn't saved. Why? Because I wasn't lost. My mother talked me into a godly woman that she was, but it taught me a lesson. You can't talk children or anyone else in the salvation. That's a Holy Spirit job. And you'll just mess it up. We were walking revival meeting on a day, during the day, to church. And all the 2 miles we walked to church, my mother was telling me the whole way, 9-year-old boy, you're old enough to get saved. And she told me the plan of salvation. I guess she did. Deaf ears. But when the preacher preached, and I don't know what he preached, two of them that morning, sitting right over here on the second seat, my mother started crying and said, you know what we talked about, son, you need to go to the altar, be the little boy that wanted to be, and I was. I went to an altar right there, not in this church, of course, and if I stayed a minute in the altar, I stayed an hour. I didn't know what was going on. The preacher said this and read this, And I got up as lost as I was, because I wasn't lost, but I sure wasn't saved. Nothing changed. Why? Because my will hadn't been changed. It was my mama's will, godly woman that she was. She was trying to help me, but I'm telling you, folks, we can't help them. Holy Spirit, the only one that can help them. Who told this young man? Was it his daddy? No, he didn't even try, apparently. You want your will? Go ahead and have your will. But he follows him, the Holy Spirit, where he goes. He lets a famine come. He lets him be in want. And then he directs him to know one conclusion. I'm lost. There's an armistice day ahead. Would you stand this morning? Armistice day for you. A day in which you come to an agreement. You stop your action running from sin. Or am I saved? Am I not saved? And making it. You see, they had an agreement that day. But all the paperwork and everything, it took a whole year to get that. But the agreement you have to make this morning, your head's bowed, miss you, come play the piano, sing whatever God puts on your heart. But you realize this morning, the Holy Spirit has showed you, I'm lost. I can't show you, but he can. Sometimes he'll lead you in a lot of different ways, but he always leads you back home to the cross. Your head's bowed. This message is for you this morning. For some individual here this morning, thinks you're saved, but you're not. Some people really know they're not saved. They're just being playing. But the Holy Spirit's here this morning, convicting and drawing. And all you have to do is come to the conclusion he has already showed you how to do. I'm lost. Will my Father forgive me? Absolutely. All you have to do is come and seek him. He can be found. And he says, he made the according agreement on Calvary. But remember, it takes two people to sign that agreement. He's made it. Will you come? And then the battle stops. There's no more fighting. Oh, the flesh. But see, the soul is saved. And greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And he in you, the hope of glory, will help you overcome on a daily basis the flesh. And then he's coming. There was no more complaints when the prodigal son got home. He was accepted. He was forgiven. He was restored. Same thing can happen to you this morning. Would you come?